doubt now. Has anyone noticed? So that's good, despite what Stephen says. If you are somebody who contributes to the paint and community larder and puts food in the boxes, from now on for the summer, they are round the back in the flower vestry to keep it cooler. Okay. Right. Well, a warm welcome to everyone here and also to those who may be listening at home. First thing I need to say to you this morning is, happy birthday, everybody. Why is he saying that? It's not my birthday till October. Today is the birthday of the church. It's the day of Pentecost. It's the day when the Holy Spirit came down among Jesus' followers, and after that affected so many more people and is still present with us this morning. Yes? Yes. And so it's the birthday of the church. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I've just been surprised myself by being told that it is the actual birthday of someone in the congregation this morning, and that's Karen up on the balcony. 21 today. Andrew, could you give us a note, Andrew? Going to welcome the Holy Spirit into our presence now as we stand, if you are able, to sing Holy Spirit, We Welcome You.
Sweet child, turn to heart.
Today we celebrate the birthday of the church. The followers of Jesus waited behind locked doors, yet your Spirit came to them in power, changing them from a bewildered band into a proclaiming people, the church. We pray for ourselves and for your whole church that we might be open to the empowering presence of your Spirit, open to the gracious gifting of your Spirit, and open to the adventurous leading of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, as you filled those first Christians with an enthusiasm for the gospel of Christ, so enthuse us that we go out into the world proclaiming and preaching the good news of Jesus. Father, we're so sorry that we often fall down in this matter of reaching out to others. In fact, we constantly let you down in all sorts of different ways. So we want to say sorry this morning. And just pray that by the power of your Spirit, you will enable us to be bolder and to walk more closely with you day by day. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read you an abridged version, a shortened version of the Pentecost story. You can follow it in Acts chapter 2 in your Bibles if you want to, but I should be jumping about a bit as I go along. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And what seemed to be tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't we like to see a return to those days? Let's sing together two songs. The first one, "I Am a New Creation," which we'll sing through twice. And the next one is "The King is Among Us." If you're able to stand, please do. If you prefer to sit, that's fine.
Of God I stand.
Using the offering bag each week. If you are a visitor, it's an optional thing whether you want to put something in the bag or not. And so if the stewards wait upon us now, please. Lord, you are such a generous God, and you give us so many things, and we're so very grateful. We bring you these tokens of our love for you. The money that's in these bags, the money that's been given through the bank or in any other way, will you accept it, Lord, all together, and multiply it, and may it be used so that others come to know about your wonderful love, and about their Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I thought, Connie, that if you want to, you could try and do a drawing of all these people in the story where flames appeared on tops of their heads. That would be an exciting thing to draw, wouldn't it? See if you can have a bash at that, and we'll have a look at it afterwards. Josie's going to bring our reading now, which you will find in Zechariah chapter 4.
So we're in Zechariah chapter 4. I can't tell you what page it's on because I'm reading from my own Bible. 951, did somebody say? Thank you. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up with someone awakened from sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it, with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." I asked the angel, "Who talked with me? What are these, my Lord?" He answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I replied. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord, Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, 'God bless it, God bless it.'" Then the word of the Lord came to me, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of the small things, since the seven eyes of the Lord that rage throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel?" Then I asked the angel, "What are these two olive trees on the right and on the left of the lampstone stand?" Again I asked him, "What are these two olive branches beside the two gold pipes that pour out the golden oil?" He replied, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I said. So he said, "These are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth." And thanks be to God.
Now, if you thought that was a difficult word, don't fear, because David is going to explain it to us with the Spirit's help. Father, we thank you for David and for his preparation before you this week. And we look forward now to hearing something about this wonderful word, Lord, that we can understand and will be applicable to our lives. So fill him with your Spirit and anoint his lips, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, we'll do it, sorry. Well, just altering the furniture.
God loves all sizes of people.
I'll cope with it there. For many years I had trifocals, where the top part was for distance, the middle part was for preaching, so I could see my notes, and the bottom part was for reading normally. But now you can't get them in this country, you have to get them from America, and they cost £500. I don't have £500 spare. Well now, how long are you prepared to stay here this morning? We've got the whole of chapter 4, according to Stephen, and we've got Pentecost. And I want you to go away feeling that both chapter 4 of Zechariah and Pentecost have something for you to live by. So that's the goal. Let's see where we get. But before that, I want to talk just very briefly, as I promised, about visions. Because there are so many throughout Zechariah. And I've chosen to do it this week because it fits with us celebrating Pentecost today and last week thinking about angels and Satan. It's all in the realm of the Spirit, as is visions. Now, in the Bible, and if we can have the next slide up, please, Hayley. In the Bible, and the next one. Thank you. In the Bible, the word vision is used as an encounter with God whereby he imparts special revelation. A vision is an encounter with God where he imparts a special revelation. And it may come as a dream or a theophany, as the Bible calls it, which is where God speaks directly a word into a person's mind and spirit, or it may be in a picture. Now, many of the main leaders of God's people in biblical times of the Old Testament were recipients of visions. Kings, prophets, priests, plus the itinerant leaders of the nation like Isaiah and Jeremiah. This is the way God kept his people on track, by giving visions of one kind or another with clear instructions from, if you like, headquarters. And visions still happen today. If God deems it appropriate, any believer may receive a vision. They're not always dramatic. They're quite often very calm, quiet, and practical and directive. Before I was called to all of my five churches, God has given me a very clear vision in one way or another, spoken into my mind, my heart, of what he wanted me to do. And I'm an ordinary bloke. So, yes, he gives visions to kings and prophets and ordinary people. However, just before I move on from visions, I want to tell you that in our present setup in the world, God is especially using visions to encourage and teach and be present with those who are persecuted. The number of people in prison who have been spoken to by God through visions is amazing. You have to take my word for it. Valerie will tell you, I'm pretty addicted to researching on the internet. But it's things that you wouldn't discover any other way. And the number of people in prison, because of their faith, are having visions and dreams and meeting with God. Also, people who are imprisoned in circumstances like the only person in a family, or in a workplace, or a community. So, yes, visions are not of old, they're also of now. And you never know when it might happen to you. Now, we'll move back on now into the substance of Zechariah. You will recall, just to recap, that an advance party of about 50,000 people had returned from exile in Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. However, it wasn't all plain sailing on two accounts. First of all, the people became more interested in building their own houses rather than the temple. And the people of the surrounding clans who had occupied the land that was left when Israel and Judah were taken off into Babylon weren't too pleased when they came back and started to take the land back again. So there was opposition big time. And they found the work, the people of God, tiring both physically, emotionally and spiritually, and were constantly tempted to give up. So God reminds them that they could not achieve the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple alone in their own strength. They were outnumbered and could easily be defeated and disseminated. But he would be, God promises, their strength and their shield. Now, I guess when Stephen, and he's now wondering what I'm going to say, I guess Stephen chose this verse that it's the heart of this chapter to be our church text or motto for the year. Because you see, as these words were very relevant to the people when they were spoken by God in the time of Zechariah, so they are precisely attuned to our needs to hear this word today, as I hope to show you as we move on. You see, we find ourselves in a very similar situation to the people who were there to build the temple and to re-establish God's kingdom. But we are now, as Christians, vastly outnumbered by Satan's hosts of unbelievers, non-believers, and anti-believers, as well as those of false faiths. We are now predominantly a pagan nation. Since the late 50s, Christianity has gradually decreased until now. We are one of the most people of all over the world. We are the most unbelieving nation. Now that might surprise you. You see, Christianity has decreased. Faith in God has decreased alarmingly since the 50s. From a very reliable recent survey of people in the United Kingdom, it was discovered that only 34% actually believe in God, believe that there is a God. This makes witnessing and evangelism harder than it has ever been, as people are either apathetic or opposed to faith, or are followers of false faiths. Only this last week, I was talking with someone, and I asked them if they had a faith in God. Or I started off, do you have a faith? Do you have a faith in God? And immediately the atmosphere changed from welcome to icy. Say no more. And as we saw last week, Satan has gradually deceived, as he deceived the nations of the time of Zechariah, our nation, through the pursuit of money and pleasure, the ownership of things, addictions to drugs and so forth. These have become the gods of our age that have blinded people's eyes to see their need of salvation and a relationship with God. And as the people were rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple, they needed to hear this word that we hear as it our text for the year. Then the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We should all be able to say that. Don't worry, I'm not going to get you to do it. We should have it engraved upon our minds for this year. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This chapter, the whole chapter, through the picture of the lampstand with pipes and trees, reminds us that a necessary resource, an essential resource for God's work by his people today as it was then, is by opening our lives and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us in every part. And the analogy of the lampstand reminded Zerubbabel that the Holy Spirit would continually supply his need. This is why the trees were there to give the olive oil that kept the lamps burning. Before this time of the vision, it was the duty of the priests every day, because the lamps normally only, when they'd been filled up, lasted 24 hours. So the priest's job was to go into the temple and refill the lamps of the lampstands. But now, says God, in a sense, that task of the priest is finished. Now my Holy Spirit will do that for you. And that's exactly what happened at Pentecost. We see the picture here. We pray the fire will come, not another burning of our building, please, Lord, but that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon us, but not upon just upon us. We need to pray for the whole church in this nation, because unless there is revival soon, the church will be considered by the nation insignificant, something that doesn't really matter. But we know that is not going to happen, because as the book of Zechariah was written as prophecy, also telling the people what would happen in the coming shorter period of time, it was also telling us what would happen, that the Spirit would come again, and that then at the end of time, there would be this amazing completion of the work that was beginning then. So the message here for them and for us is that God wants his supply of the Holy Spirit. And our reliance on the Holy Spirit to be continual, and to be the key to our ability to live in victory day by day. By my spirit is the key phrase here in chapter 4. By my spirit. And so as we live our lives filled by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the Lord has three wonderful ministries to fulfill in each of our lives, through each of our lives, which I want to conclude with this morning. Because this, my friends, is not theory. This must be practice. Now, we cannot see the Spirit, but we can see the outworking of the Spirit. I remember Billy Graham, way back in the days of Haringey, telling a meeting of Christians that when he went into Haringey Arena, it was just an arena, but when he saw the people who were coming down the aisles to put their faith in Jesus, he could see the work of the Spirit right in front of him. So the Spirit can be seen at work, can be seen at work today in our lives, in our churches that are preaching the true gospel of repentance and salvation, and in our nation. It may not be in the scale of revivals for which we our heart's desire and for which we pray that someday in the future will be so. And may that be soon because of the situation we're in. But now we are to live in these days, allowing the Holy Spirit. And that requires sacrifice. Because the Holy Spirit comes and does his work in us and through us when we give ourselves to him and allow him to. And his work in us will be seen in three ways. Because as a result of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit enables each of us to worship God, to work for God, and to witness for God. Let's look at these three just briefly before we close. To worship God. You see, it is the Holy Spirit who inspires and energizes our worship. It's the Holy Spirit who releases us from the restrictions of our humanity into the reality of the Spirit. And to worship God and to receive from God. And worship that is not of the Spirit is dead. But worship which is of the Holy Spirit is life and pleases the Lord. And so you have seen the Holy Spirit at work today. We have worshipped. And the Spirit has been at the heart of it. Secondly, he's given in order that we might work for God. As we exercise our spiritual gift or gifts, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved, he gives us each spiritual gifts to use in his service. All right, bring the paper, give everybody a piece of paper and a pen, and you'll all write down your spiritual gifts. Oh, there's horror there on your faces. I'm not going to do that, but I'm trying to do it in a way that says, look, can you tell me, if I came and sat with you, what your spiritual gift or gifts are? Because some could be latent, but we all have them as believers. When I went to our last church at Hereford, one of the things that I was called to do was to work with every member of the church who would be willing to discover their spiritual gifts and to make sure everybody was serving the Lord according to their gifts and not just because there was a need. And we found some people. I remember a lady who had been teaching Sunday school so many years, she couldn't remember how long, discovered she hadn't got the gift of teaching. And she was told she could give up because it wasn't her gift. And the Lord supplied somebody else. Just a simple story to explain. We have gifts. We need to know what they are. And if you're not sure, speak to Stephen, speak to one of the deacons, speak to a friend, pray it through. And ask the Lord, what's my spiritual gift that I might serve you in the spirit and not in the physical strength of my desires? And then thirdly, the Spirit is given to us to witness. To witness to God and to our Lord Jesus. For the Lord has given us by the Holy Spirit who indwells us, fruit. If you go on, Haley, you'll find, if you can, there's a slide there with a list of, that's it, lovely, thank you. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Isn't that wonderful, those gifts? And you don't just have one or two like you do spiritual gifts for service. My friends, you've got them all. For unlike an apple tree can only have apples, we have all these gifts. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. The whole caboosh. And we should be allowing them to flow by his Spirit and to be seen by one another, that we can rejoice in the fruits of the Spirit amongst us as the Church of Jesus in this place. And it should be those fruit that make the bridgehead into our unbelieving nation as we live in a very different way, which should then give us opportunity to then speak of the Lord. And some of you will have the gift of evangelism more than others. And can I say to, I'll say this carefully, but I know some people get very hung up because they find it very difficult to witness and to talk to people about Jesus. It's not unusual. And don't beat yourself up over it, but realize it may not be your specific gift of evangelism. But also, if you have that gift, make sure you use it. And all of us can use ways of allowing the Spirit to prompt us to share the Lord. I remember someone some years ago telling me, after I preached on the Holy Spirit, and they thought, well, Lord, I really feel I ought to be witnessing, but I haven't got that gift, I'm sure, but how can I do it? And she suddenly thought, I know what I'll do for the next year. I'm going to give a Christian book to all my friends and relations who I normally send cards to. And I heard that that person was just a step, just a link in a chain to the start of someone coming to faith, and probably others that that person never knew of. So, my friends, the Spirit will use you to witness, not necessarily in knocking on your neighbour and saying, are you saved? But in living out the fruit of the Spirit, and when opportunity is obviously there and you're prompted by the Spirit, there are things like books and other ways. But what I'm saying is, our God of the Spirit, the God of variety, he doesn't pigeonhole us, but he does give us all the Spirit. I could go on, but there's much more I'd love to say. But what we're going to do now, we're going to listen to a song. And we're going to allow it to be a song to stimulate us this morning to open our hearts afresh to the filling of the Holy Spirit and to serving him in the Spirit in a fresh and new way in the days ahead. So if we could go to that song next now, Hayley, please, that will be wonderful.
Let's spend a little while laying ourselves open to God.
Prophecy, something of God
that they want to share with us, Lord. Please free them up to do so now.
gives me strength. Lord, we thank you for your written word. And we come to you, Lord, and say thank you that we have that written word before us. And we can pick it up and read it. And it can just come into our lives and in our hearts. And Father, we just pray that you will help us to read more of your written word as well as listening to your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that whatever you call us to do, whatever giftings you may give us, you always enable us to do what you call us to do. By your mercy and by your grace, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Well, Lord, we do thank you for your word that says you work all things for good for those who love you and are called according to your purposes. Amen.
Amen. The Lord keeps showing me the dove that represents the Holy Spirit. The dove is one of the most kindest birds there is on the planet. That's what we must learn, like the fruits, love, joy and peace. Just like the dove, God doesn't do anything by mistake. That's why he chose the dove to represent his Holy Spirit.
To you, Holy Spirit, for restoring him. And we pray that you will continue restoring him over these next few weeks too. I also believe that you restore Sheila back to us as well. And it was so great to stand to hear her voice in the church. And I thank you for that too. And for Debbie, who has also been laid aside, and you've restored her. And I pray that there'll be others who have felt that they've been restored through other things in their lives. Pray that this church will grow, and it also will grow in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of the Lord too. I thank you for everyone that's here this morning. I pray that you'll bless each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for my wonderful sister Rowena being in the building today.
Lord, for June's
excitement. Lord, we thank you for restoring to us these
loving, kindly, useful people in your service back into our midst. Lord, we rejoice in that. We pray that you will continue your work of healing in them all to bring them back to really full strength and health. But Lord, you know that life is not without its sadnesses. And just this last week, our sister Betty has been called to be with you, leaving Philip on his own, Lord, and we ask you to be very close to him at this time. Surround him with your love and your peace, and people who will be able to help him through this transition in his life, Lord. And we pray for Christine Legg, who's lost her sister, Janet, on the same day that Betty died. Janet died within an hour. And we pray for your consolation and for your love and for your peace for Christine. And a Japanese son who's all the way across the world in Japan. And this weekend also, Lord, June Bunce's brother-in-law, Bill, has also passed away. And we pray for his wife, Pat, and for all the family, Lord, for your peace and consolation too. Those who know the Lord, those who we have served with in the cause of the gospel over many years, Lord, we know where they are. They're safe in the arms of Jesus. So may we not be sad, but help us to rejoice in all that they did for you during their lives. I went to a Salvation Army funeral once, where a neighbour of ours in the Salvation Army had died. And I liked the way they said that she had been promoted to glory. I think that's a wonderful expression, Lord. May these dear ones of ours, Lord, be promoted to glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, David. Where's he gone? Thank you for that powerful and encouraging word this morning, and for finding that beautiful song by the Gettys, Lord. That was really, really beautiful. And we're going to close with another song now, but not before we've had a look at the artwork that's been going on down here. You going to show me? Boy, I have been busy. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost. Look at that. And what's this one? Oh. This one's got a picture of Josie on it. Who is a real blessing to me. Thank you. Well done. That's lovely. Breath of life comes sweeping through us. That's what we need. That's what we desire. Let's stand and sing this song as we close.
Revive us, Lord, the world.
us out, Lord, in the power of your Holy Spirit to make a difference in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Let's say the prayers to one another. Let's hold hands as we do it, if you're near enough to hold someone's hand. Somebody grab hold of Adam. Dennis is coming in. He's not going to get away with it either. So we say to one another, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.